This morning, as we launch into our series, Unlocking Faith. Unlocking faith is what we're talking about. But today I want to talk about extreme faithfulness. Extreme faithfulness. Everybody say that. Extreme. What in the world is that? Well, let me use this for just a moment. You cannot consume this M&M packet once you get it. It's really good, but you can't open it until you release the locking band that is there. The same is with faith. We can talk about it. We can desire it. It could be something we really want. But if we never tap into it, if we never unlock it, it can never be part of our life. So I want you to unlock faith. Just like when you unlock the M&Ms, you unlock it so you can open it. I don't want to spill them all. And that way, you can consume. I want you to unlock faith. Now, men, I'm giving you this as a gift today. But I'm asking you to take it one step further. I want you to eat the contents. I want you to enjoy them. And by the way, we have plain and peanut. So those who are just plain, guys, you just want plain, go get plain. And those who are nuts, we got you covered. So, but after you eat it, here's what I'm asking you to do. For our men's ministry, we have a part of men's ministry called Light for the Lost. You've heard of BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, and they raise funds for equipment and for Sunday school material for children. Then we have Speed the Light. That's STL, you'll see that. That's for raising funds for our missionaries for their vehicles and equipment. But then Life for the Lost is our men's department. And they raise money for Bibles and evangelistic material for our missionaries. And so have you ever heard of the Fire Bible? The Fire Bible comes out of the Light for the Lost money. So I'm asking you men, once you consume this in 2 weeks, on July 3rd, I'm asking you, bring it back. And bring it back full of money. Now, do the best you can. If you want to fill it up with $100 bills, go for it. If you want to fill it up with change, we're fine. But I'm asking you, men, let's do Light for the Lost. Let's get more Bibles out there. In fact, I heard a story just this morning. It was in a Spanish-speaking country. And a flood happened, and the man lost, and he needed another Spanish Bible. And so the missionaries were able to provide that. And that's what it's about. So men, would you get on board with me in 2 weeks? Let's bring them back, and let's fill them up, and we're going to give it to Light for the Lost. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so we want to tap in and unlock faith. Let me take you to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And by the way, this is not a message just for men or for dads today. This is for the church. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that trains us and equips us. Lord, your word is living and active, and we want it to activate our lives today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who bear fruit. Especially teach us about faithfulness today. In Jesus' name, amen. How many have ever bought a Hallmark card? And you like, you know, Hallmark does a great job. Well, I want you to know Hallmark kind of hits the whole market. In fact, came across a book called, from Hallmark, called Please Don't Promise Me Forever. Y'all really think that through for a moment. I thought it was the opposite. In fact, inside there's a statement that really kind of reflects the culture of our day. Inside this book is this statement: I can't promise you forever, but I can promise you today. Now, to me, that is a weak statement. I know some look at it and go, well, yeah, amen, you know, I can't. No, church, I thought we were called to faithfulness. Church, unfortunately, this is about as deep as a commitment that people will make today. And it's sad. Faithfulness is more than a moment of being faithful. It's about making a commitment to walk faith out today and tomorrow and every day of our life as the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, in contrast to the way the world thinks, I want you to know God is one who exhibits extreme faithfulness. Listen to Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and His love endures how long? And His faithfulness continues through all generations. Every time you see a rainbow, you can remember God is faithful. He keeps His promises. Every time you pick up a Bible, you need to remember this, that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. His word is faithful. Every time you gather in church with your brothers and your sisters in the Lord, you need to remember Jesus said, for where two or three have gathered together in My name, I am there in their midst. Aren't you glad? Jesus, you are welcome. We have gathered here in His name today. God's faithful to His word and to His promises. The songwriter Thomas Chisholm puts it into these words, great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. You remember the chorus? Would you sing it with me? Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. For all I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. For great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He's faithful. In the midst of this lament, Jeremiah declares these words that this songwriter took his song from. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. God's faithfulness is undeniable. And yet, we are to learn from Him and then emulate Him. Emulate Him in our walk. We are called to be faithful people. If we would only allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, and I believe the fruit of faithfulness can and will be revealed and become evident in our daily lives. And then the more we yield to His guidance in our lives, the less we will be tempted to cave to our faithless culture. Church, we are to be continually filled with His Holy Spirit so that others can find us reliable and trustworthy, so that we have a staying power in our lives to be faithful both through the good times and the bad times. We need to have faithfulness. Faithfulness is not something our world understands very well. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines faithfulness this way: having or showing true and constant support or loyalty, deserving trust, keeping your promises or doing what you are supposed to do, and fidelity. Overall, I think that's a great definition. But I want to help define faithfulness in our walk, incorporating and embracing the Bible. Because faithfulness is about reflecting God's unchangeableness. John the disciple had a great revelation of who Jesus was. And it's John who writes this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We know, I want you to catch that, we know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in what? In His love. I know He loves me, and I put my trust in His love. For God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. Church, simply, faithfulness is love. It's God, God who is love, in us that never gives up. Faithfulness is love in us that never gives up. Church, there could be misunderstandings and disappointments and discouragements in life, but I will not quit. It's God's love in me that says never give up. If a spouse says, well, I really love my husband, or I really love my wife, and then they go out and have an affair, most of you would describe that person as being unfaithful. You see, no matter how much one proclaims their love for their spouse, they will not be believed when their proclamation of love is contradicted by their unfaithfulness. Because the two, love and faithfulness, should be the same. It's like if someone says, well, I really love the Lord. I really love His church. And then they're unfaithful to God. It's really hard to believe. Do they really love the Lord? And that is because faithfulness and love go hand in hand. Now, a side note that you need to understand, this does not mean that God cannot restore the unfaithful man or the unfaithful woman to their spouse. It does not mean that God tosses someone aside who's been unfaithful in church. That is exactly why God is faithful. He is there to restore. He is there to heal with His love and with His faithfulness. That is because God is love. He never gives up. Now, I know on our part, in our human nature, we struggle when those things happen, because of our personal feelings or the thoughts we have. But that's why we are called to learn God's word, learn of His love, learn about His faithfulness, and then keep working that into our lives. Listen, you may get discouraged. You probably will be disappointed by others. But faithfulness says this: even though there is discouragement and disappointment, I will not let go. I will not quit. I will keep on loving and caring and serving and helping because God has called me to be faithful. That's extreme faithfulness. I want you to listen to the Word of God, and I have some scriptures that challenge us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church, and he tells them this in the first verse of chapter 4. This, then, is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now listen to verse 2. Now, it is, say that word, required. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must what? Prove faithful. Church, we are challenged to be faithful in stewarding what God has given us or what He has entrusted to us, especially when God reveals His word to us. When His word comes alive, you've been entrusted with that, and you are required to prove yourself faithful with it. That's a challenge. Romans 12:12 teaches us this: be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. a challenge. It covers the idea of keeping the hope and working patience in your life. You might need that. That's good. But it wraps up in these three with one important thing, and that's our relationship with God. Not just how I look outwardly, right? Not just how I feel inwardly, but being faithful in prayer. In my relationship. I can fool a lot of people on the outside, and there are even some who have fooled others with what's on the inside. But if you're not faithful in prayer, you're never going to fool God. Listen to Revelation 17, 14. They will wage war against the Lamb. We don't talk a lot about end times and things that are happening, but Revelation is there for us to learn from and see. It's actually the revelation of Jesus Christ is what he's doing. But listen to what happens. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Church, this is a reminder that you want to be on the side of faithfulness with the Lamb of God. Amen? But we got to be faithful followers of the Lord. I would hope, though, this next verse could be said of our church. 3 John, the 3rd verse. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. Church, I would love for that to be the testimony about the people of Northfield Christian. Man, I walked out more. Your people are faithful. They love God. They pray with people. They're faithful to the truth and continue to walk in it. Is that not the way we should be out in the world? Our faithfulness, listen, our faithfulness and our unfaithfulness will be noticed by those around us. I'm asking you, choose to be faithful. You see, during these end times, and I really do believe we are nearing, if not in, the end times. I'm not sure what your family or you may face, but you need to remain faithful. Revelation 13, 10, here it is again, speaking of being faithful in persecution. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of who? God's people. See, that's who we are. And church, I cannot be thwarted in my faith because of a threat, or even if somebody carries out the threat. We belong to God. And when our time is complete here on earth, I get to go to be with him. In Revelation, it challenges us to be faithful even unto death. Listen to what Jesus tells the church in Revelation 2:10. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Church, I'm living for the victor's crown. I'm living for eternal life, not for the temporary life. I know there's a lot of things out there that would satisfy me temporarily. But I am living for far more than just myself. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by how? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Church, I'm asking us to choose extreme faithfulness. The world will not understand it. It does not have a clue what Paul is really talking about when he talks about bearing faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness. So I want to help us to understand it better by looking at a demonstration of faithfulness from the Bible. Of course, the example is the greatest example, and that's Jesus. It's found in Matthew 16, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. Jesus kind of gets his disciples together and says, listen, I got to go to Jerusalem. By the way, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going there anyway. Now, you may not remember, but it's in this passage, the very next verse, that Peter tries to stop Jesus from going to Jerusalem. Here's what it says. But Peter took him aside, talking about Jesus, and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Now, personally, I cannot imagine reprimanding Jesus. But thank the Lord, there is a Peter that's out there. Peter did this. But hear Jesus' response in verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now there is a reason that Jesus calls Peter Satan. It was because Satan was using Peter to try to get Jesus to quit. He's trying to get Jesus to be unfaithful and not carry out his mission of love. Again and again throughout Jesus' ministry, Satan tried to tempt him to be unfaithful. Don't go to the cross. Don't die for their sins. Just quit. It's going to be too tough. It's too many obstacles, too many difficulties. Just turn around and quit. And maybe you've even heard that in your life. You need to know Satan would love for you to quit. But listen to Luke 9:51, where we are reminded of Jesus' take on his mission. Listen to verse 51. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven. By the way, did you know that Jesus was looking way past the cross? He was past the temporal, thinking of the eternal. As the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus was determined that no matter what would happen, he is going to be faithful to the mission for which he came. So he determined, he was resolute, the Bible says, he would be faithful to fulfill the mission to seek and to save the lost. Even while hanging on the cross, people were mocking him, saying, if you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Once again, that was Satan was tempting him. Quit. Come on down. It's not worth it. The pain is too intense. Give up. The people don't care anyway. Just quit. Can you hear it? But Jesus hung there, and then he proclaimed these great words. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then in verse 46, Jesus calls out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said that, he breathed his last. Church, that is faithfulness. Be faithful even unto death. Let me take you back to the Matthew 16 passage. Right after Peter reprimanded Jesus, you need to hear what Jesus teaches. In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And that's the question each of us need to ask as disciples, as followers of Jesus. My answer, nothing is worth more than my soul. So I have said, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. My life, my heart, my soul. So how do we grow in our faithfulness? How do we develop it? Well, in order to answer that, you need to understand this. An apple tree does not stand out in the middle of an orchard saying, now, how do I develop apples? An apple tree produces apples because that is what an apple tree does. Church, we are Spirit-led Christians. We are attached to the vine, who is Jesus Christ. We produce the fruit of the Spirit because that is what we are made to do. Everybody's like, how do I do it? You're attached to the vine. Now you just produce it. You work it out. But you have to be careful that your branch doesn't get detached from the vine. Also, be careful to not let diseases get on your branch, like bitterness or hatred or pride or foolishness. If it attaches itself to your branch, it will destroy the fruitfulness in your life. So a few thoughts I'm going to throw your way to have extreme faithfulness. Number one is this. Realize that temptations will come. Everybody say that. Realize that temptations will come. They will come. Just as Jesus was tempted to be unfaithful, each of us is going to be tempted to be unfaithful. It might be in your marriage. It might be in your relationship with the Lord. It could be in your service or your part in serving the Lord at church. Listen, Satan will tempt you to be unfaithful because that's what he does. But the Spirit of God will do just the opposite because he will encourage you to be faithful because that's what he does. And so if we stay in the Spirit, we will hear more clearly and we can bear the fruit of faithfulness. So realize that temptations will come. Number two, seek the Holy Spirit's reinforcement in your life. And then develop regular, positive spiritual habits. I know this is a long point, but it's the one that really moves us toward faithfulness, is developing the proper habits in our life. If you're going to do a habit, it's going to take you a long time to develop the habit. So start now. Don't wait. Start with love. You did it. Thank you for walking around. It amazes me how many people can control themselves when they want to. The other day I was watching something and it was amazing the language that is out there today. But when this particular person wanted to and they got around the right one, the right people, they're like, they controlled it all of a sudden. I find it interesting that you really want to activate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, and faithfulness. I'm telling you, the activator is self-control. And that is a fruit of the Spirit. So start working self-control in your life. This world is not a Christian world you live in. If you didn't know that, just... And by the way, this is not a Christian nation that we live in. And we're being pressed on every side to develop negative habits, tempting us to be unfaithful in church, be unfaithful in prayer, be unfaithful in reading the Bible. Listen, everything out there is trying to capture your thoughts and your energy and your resources. Let me tell you, marketing works. And the world pays a lot of money to market you. Well, God paid an awesome price for you. And if I'm going to call myself after his name, a Christian, then I ought to reflect him. Amen? So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Be determined to serve God, and then people will be able to count on you. Men, I'm asking you, learn to be consistent in your walk. Be trustworthy. Be reliable. Develop faithfulness as a habit in your life and please God that way. And then when Satan does come along and he tempts us and you've got this habit in your life of faithfulness, he will entice, but it won't be that strong because you have the habit of faithfulness. Number three, finally, get back up when you're knocked down. Simon Peter is a hero in the scriptures, but not because he always did it right. In fact, people are like, he's not a hero. He is a hero. In fact, he gave his life all the way to death in the name of Jesus to proclaim his love for his Savior. Sometimes he made glaring and obvious mistakes. We even read one today where he reprimanded Jesus. By the way, I don't recommend that, but sometimes it needs to be said. In fact, he even denied knowing Jesus. At one point, he was like, never, I won't ever hurt you, you won't die. And now I don't even know you. I don't even know who he is. And he wept bitterly over his mistakes. But every time Peter fell down, Peter got back up again. And church, by the way, when it came to selecting someone to preach the very first message of the gospel on the day of Pentecost, guess who got chosen? Simon Peter. The Holy Spirit says, Simon Peter, you do it. You get up and preach this message. Listen, you've had the experience of being knocked down, but you know how to get back up. Listen, I know you've made mistakes, and these people need to know that. They need to know how vulnerable you are, but how gracious I am. But now with my Spirit in you, you can be faithful despite everything you've done. My power is able to work through your weaknesses. And church, the same was true of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. He experienced all kinds of persecution and discouragement and all kinds of temptations, but he never gave up. In fact, it's the Apostle Paul in his later years, he writes these words to a young preacher named Timothy. In 2 Timothy, toward the end of his life, he writes this, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful.